Well, this week in our sixth petition, we're going to be addressing the issue of sin and how we are to pray regarding sin, essentially how we are to pray regarding temptation, which leads to sin. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. We will look again at the Apostles' Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read from verses 9 all the way down to 13 to the conclusion of the prayer. Follow along with me if you would. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, just like last week, I want to note that the sixth petition begins with the word and. Our last petition dealt with forgiveness of our sins. We have to always keep it in mind that not only are we grateful for our forgiveness of sin, but we also have to strive to live a life that is away from temptation. Our forgiveness and our being led away from temptation go hand in hand. Never parcel out our life. We should never chop up our forgiveness and separate it from our temptation. Now, temptation leads to sin, and forgiveness is because of our sin. So these two are naturally bound together, and the word and is necessary to tie one to the next. Also, and this is the last introductory remark I'm going to make tonight, the sixth petition to the Apostles' Prayer is a two-part petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those are two different things, and we're going to just be looking tonight at lead us not into temptation. Next time we're together, we'll conclude the Apostles' Prayer. After that, Travis is going to be leading us through Ephesians chapter 6 as we study the full armor of God. We've got quite a bit to look at tonight. I think you're going to enjoy this one. We're going to have three separate seasons of prayer. Our discussion is going to break up naturally into three segments. And I'm going to frame those, if you're taking notes, with four questions. There will be a little outline headings if you'd like. We'll begin with the first segment right now, the sixth petition, and we look at our source of temptation. So the first question you have to answer is, what is the source of our temptation? Now, when we ask God, lead us not into temptation, what exactly is it we're doing? Are we in prayer asking that God not lead us into temptation because we think maybe that's exactly what he would do? Do we really have to ask our Lord not to tempt us? Well, to answer that question, just open your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, right after Hebrews there, you'll find James. And the first chapter of James is conveniently located at the front. James chapter 1, we'll be looking at verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Keep your book open to James, or keep your Bibles in James if you would. Teaching in James here is absolutely unambiguous. Scripture offers us clear proof that God does not tempt us. God may permit sin. He certainly does not promote sin. Thomas Watson, great book. I think we still have one left in the bookstore there. If you'd like to pick it up, it's a great book on the Lord's Prayer. And he said in this particular chapter, he who is an encourager of holiness cannot be a pattern of sin. There's a thought to hold on to. When we think about God, we must do so only in the context of his holiness. God cannot abide with sin. He'll allow it as it brings him glory. But he is never a pattern of sin. So, what does it mean, lead us not into temptation? Well, now that we know that God's not the tempter, the meaning is really clear. God does not want us to become overcome by temptation. He doesn't want his children to be given up to the power of temptation. He doesn't want us to be drawn into sin, and yet, these are evil days. Sin is all around us. We live in a world filled with sin. So how is it that we come to sin? Well, for our first part tonight, under the heading and answering that question, what is the source of temptation? There are two sources. First, we have to affirm Temptation may originate from within us. It may originate from within us. Quoting Watson once again, we read, "The heart is the kindling of sin and the breeder of all evil." The breeder of all evil. Boy, there's a phrase, huh? It is our very nature to sin. There is within our hearts the disposition not to do good, but instead to do evil, to sin. It's like a fire generates heat with a fuel that is evil. Go back to James again there, right where you were. Look at the next verse, James chapter 1, verse 14. We read there in 1:14, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." By his own desire. Holy Spirit guided the words of James to inform us that our own desires are evil. It's a sad truth, but it's a truth nonetheless. We must understand that most often we are the cause of our own sins. Most all the time our sin is of our own doing. Now, every time we sin, it is of our own doing. But not only that, we are our own tempters. But temptation can come from outside of us. Our first source of temptation is ourselves. But the second source of temptation, well, that's the enemy. Satan tempts us. In Matthew 4:3, we read, "And the tempter came and said to him," that's Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Even though he is defeated, Satan has not been cast into prison yet. He's free to roam the world, lay traps of temptation, and Satan is putting forth his best effort to destroy our faith. Consider your faith as your fortress. Now consider temptation as spiritual dynamite placed near the fort to destroy you. Satan is persistent. His temptation of unbelievers has been characterized as molestations, and he never stops. We'd be wise to view our entire lives as one event lived after another with temptations placed all around us. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we find the tempter is there. We don't know how he came to be there, but this world is his domain. So that's the first point of our discussion tonight, our source of temptation, ourselves and the enemy. Well, let's ask a second question. What are the ways that Satan tempts us? So our second part tonight is to briefly go over the subtle ways in which Satan tempts us. Watson and others have written much about this source of temptation and the different ways in which Satan can tempt us. And in fact, he outlined over 20 different manners of temptation. He called them Satan's subtleties. And I'm going to just kind of boil it down to four, because those are the four most important ones that I found. But it wouldn't take a great deal of thought to come up with a whole lot more, and many people have. We'll just discuss four tonight. First, we find that Satan subtly tempts us as he wants to distract us from our purpose to God. He wants to distract us from our purpose for God. He may want to discourage us so that we don't do our duty to God, or he may act to cause us to think that our success has somehow been thwarted. But he distracts us so that we do not perform our duty. Second, he confuses us. He mixes up our priorities and he helps us to believe that we're achieving our general calling, but he does so at the expense of our particular calling. Now, generally, we are called to serve God. Particularly, we are called to commune with God in worship. He may cause us to spend too much time reading about God without actually worshiping God. Maybe Satan will tempt us so that our family will be more important to us than God is. We might spend time concerned about providing for the comforts of our family at home and neglecting the souls of our family by not going to church. So that's a second subtlety. Satan confuses our priorities. Thirdly, he causes us to neglect holiness. He causes us to neglect holiness. He may paint the faces of our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we see them as filled with blemishes or warts. He may cause us to lose our desire for the church. He wants us to see our religion and our faith as dangerous. Sometimes he shows us the cross of Christ, but not the crown of Christ. He wants us to swallow the lie that our faith is worth very little, and even wants us to think of holiness as an old-fashioned desire not to be pursued in this modern age. So the third subtlety is that Satan wants us to neglect holiness. Fourthly, Satan draws us off the love of truth. Draws us off the love of truth. Satan's not just an unclean spirit, he's a lying spirit. He defiles our souls with lusts. He corrupts our minds with error. And he's so good at making his errors look like truth. He knows the truth, but he wants us to pursue lies. Lies divide churches. Lies hinder the renewal of our minds. Errors devour godliness. And as Watson said, Satan's errors are pernicious to souls. Pernicious. That's a word that means deadly and infectious. It's a great word to use there. Pernicious to our souls. Satan wants to destroy our faith. The final point regarding Satan's temptations, he draws us from the love of truth. So, those are four ways that Satan tempts us. I'm sure you can see there are a myriad of ways that he can tempt us, but the thing that's important is the target. The target is what we're to be concerned with, and I said it just a moment ago, he has set his sights on our faith, faith that we received from God himself. So, well, what can we do about all this? Well, that's the third question to ask. How can we overcome temptation? There are many ways we can strive to overcome temptation, and God in his mercy has provided us with many ways. So this is going to be a very practical discussion. I'm going to give as many as I can here. Striving breaks down naturally into two activities. First, we achieve our striving against temptation by what we do, and second, we achieve it by what we don't do. So it's like the put off and put on. Just like we read in Colossians, and also in Ephesians, we read about put off and put on. I want to talk about all the ways we can put them off and then put them on. These are going to go hand in hand. Let me just list them for you. First, we should avoid solitariness. When we're alone, we should call to God in prayer. When we're alone, we should read His Word. We should meditate on His Word. Second, we should avoid melancholy or depression. Down times will come and blues will visit us every now and then, but we should consider the hope of our calling. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Third, we should make a study of sobriety. We should be sober-minded. The enemy is always afoot, and we should know that. Fourth, we must always be on our guard. Satan is crafty. Fifth, we should be aware of idleness. In this society, which almost worships entertainment and leisure, we should always remember that Satan sows his seeds on fallow ground. He sows his seeds on fallow ground. Sixth, when we have difficulty with temptation, we should make our case known to a friend. This is a great blessing in a church, is to have Christian friends who can pray for you. We should pray for one another. We should always endeavor to cultivate friendships in our Christian church. We should not conceal our temptations. Share our temptations with others and ask them to pray for you. Seventh, this is my favorite, we should make use of the Word. As we will soon learn, it's the sword of the Spirit. Satan will always be there to tempt us, but our answer, when we're tempted, should always start with a phrase, "It is written." Eighth, we should always be careful of our own sinful hearts. We may decoy ourselves to sin. Remember, your heart is the traitor that lies within your castle. Ninth, flee from the occasion to sin. Flee from the occasion to sin. There lies within each of us the inclination to sin in specific occasions. These occasions have great power to awaken in our thoughts sinfulness and lusts to commit sin. Tenth, make use of your faith. It's your shield. Be much in prayer. Remain humble in your own eyes. Don't presume upon your own strength. Make use of your faith. That's 10th. And 11th, last one, don't enter into dispute with Satan. Use God's word. Don't use your words. Put on the Christian fortitude. Be patient and steadfast in your pursuit of holiness. Arm yourself with courage. Be fearless about helping others. And conversely, make use of all the encouragements that you can. If the conflict is hard, look to the crown of Christ. Well, the final portion of our discussion tonight is the concept of making the best use of your temptation. It's sort of like the book that says, don't waste your temptation, I guess. Maybe Dr. Piper should have written that. I don't know. Well, how do we make the best use of our temptation? Well, I can think of no better way to outline the best use of our temptation than with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reads, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So Be wise. Temptation may help us to see the corruption that is within our hearts and be grateful for that. It certainly can help us to see the wiles of Satan, and once we see his ways, we are better prepared the next time that he comes to visit us with temptation. Also, temptation makes us humble. Be thankful. Remember, God gives us strength to overcome the temptations, and be filled with sympathy towards others. We all suffer temptation. Lastly, never feel secure. You too will be tempted again. Well, I hope you all have a firmer grasp of what we can do when we're tempted. It's particularly reassuring to know, even in our temptations, that God has limited Satan. He may be allowed to tempt us, but we are not obligated to sin. We should humble ourselves before God. God is drawing us to obey him. In this sixth supplication, we pray to be drawn to plea with the Father not to be led into temptation, is to ask that we would follow God in holiness on the path of righteousness.